Thank you. Thank you all very much. Remember, you can hear George every Friday at the Fountain View. So that's always a great blessing. And thank you all very much. I know it's confusing, actually. There used to be three chairs over there. There were three chairs over there. And now there's two. And probably next week there's only going to be one. And then the week after that, I'm just wondering, I'm going to have to find room on the piano bench. And then just, I don't know what's going on. Sometimes you ever get confused? Sometimes, you notice we get confused about different things and confused about our celebrations sometimes. I had a birthday this past week, and we were going to try to celebrate it. We went to a concert downtown, Clematis. I'm a high spender. That concert's free. And you don't have to buy any food. You don't have to buy any drinks. You just sit down and you listen to music. Rick was slaying the guitar. They're playing some blues, all this stuff. The keyboard player. You know how keyboard players are, Sandra? You can't trust the keyboard player. You can't trust. So the keyboard player gets up there and he says, okay, here's a blues back from 1946. It went triple platinum or gold or whatever. It's a great song. And they start into it. Diana leans over to me and she goes, do you remember when you used to dance to that? I'm like, 1946? Wasn't even born yet. And she's acting like it was my high school prom dance or something like that. And that was Thursday. And then Friday, I get an email from the doctor who I used to like this person. I went to the doctor once, because it's embarrassing, but I had to put my wife's gynecologist as my family doctor. And I thought, well, that isn't going to work. Maybe I need to change something around on that. So we got a doctor, and I used to like her, because the first time I went, she's giving you all your records and this number and that number and your perfect thyroid and all these type of things, and then she gave the BMI number or something. Well, that's a little bit high. She goes, no, not for you. You got muscle mass. I'm like, I got muscle mass? No one's ever told me I've got muscle mass before. I kind of like this. All those times, lab guard, nobody ever said, Don, you got great muscle mass. I go home, I'm telling Don, I got muscle mass. Uh-huh. Never had a girl tell me I had muscle mass before, and I'm just being insufferable. Finally, she shuts me up. You know what she says? You had to pay her to say it. Yeah. So anyway, I get an email from her, happy birthday, Did you know on your birthday in 1923? How old do these people think I am? 1923? 94. You did the math that quick?
My mother was born in
22. Oh, okay. All right. That makes it a little better. Anyway, I'm talking about how we get confused because we get confused about Palm Sunday. All right, if you've studied the Gospels, it's like Christmas. You know, Christmas, we have wise men, we got shepherds, we got sheep, we got cows. All right, what we do? We take the whole Bible and blur it up into one story. Because if you try to find that story, one story, where it happens only one time, you're never going to find it. We took part of Luke, we take part of Matthew, we take all kinds of little stories in there, we put it together. Same thing with Palm Sunday. If you were paying attention when Cheryl read that, the palms, there's no palms mentioned in Matthew's account. It never said anything about palms. Palms are in the Gospel of John. They're not in the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Mark, Palm Sunday is on Sunday. But in Matthew, Palm Sunday is on Monday. What? Who's going to come to church on Palm Monday? We talked about that in Bible study. No, Palm Monday. Luke, they put down their clothes. They put cloaks down on the ground for the dawn. And Mark, they put down leafy branches. Sounds like a salad, So what I'm saying is we get confused about all the different elements that were part of the story of Palm Sunday, which is about when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and there was even more confusion because the people were confused about what did that mean? What did they mean? And they said, here he is, Hosanna, God save us, Son of David. Okay. He is the son of David, but he's a whole lot more than just the son of David. We know he is of the house and lineage of David. Matthew told us that at the very beginning of the book. He said, he goes through all those names. How many of you have those names memorized? Buy a car. No. He got all those names listed. Why? So he can show us that Jesus is of the house and lineage of David. Here he is, the son of David. Blessed is David. All these wonderful things about David. Okay, he is that, but he's a lot more. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, they said that at Passover. That's what they said when you came into Jerusalem. You're coming in the name of the Lord. That everyone is coming in the name of the Lord. They're there to celebrate the Passover. And the crowd says, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And the people answer, he's the prophet, Jesus of Nazareth. Well, he is a prophet, that's true. He is from Nazareth, and if you've studied the Gospel of John, you know how Nathanael feels about Nazareth, all right? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, it's not a city you want to be. You don't claim Nazareth as your hometown. You can't even find it today. They don't even know for sure where it was. That's how, yeah. They're so confused. They never say, he's the Messiah. They never say, he's the Son of God. They never say he's the Savior of the world. People get confused. Even today, we have people who have all the notes and none of the music. Have you noticed that? They've got all the right words and then not the music. They don't understand who Jesus really is. They think Jesus is a mechanic. He's here to fix things. He's going to fix things, and if I just take my problems and give them to Jesus, then Jesus will fix all my problems for me. He's a mechanic. No, he's not. They think Jesus is a referee. He's a referee, and he's going to make sure life is fair. How's that working? Well, then maybe he's not a referee, and maybe he's not a mechanic. Maybe we need to accept him for who he is. Here's an idea. What if we let Jesus be Jesus and quit trying to put our flags and our banners on him? The crowd kept trying to throw their expectations on him, and Jesus said, that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to overthrow Rome. I'm here to overthrow your sins. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here to tell you about this political party or that political party. I'm not here to tell you about this cause or that cause. I'm not here to tell you about anything like that. I'm here to tell you that I'm going to save you from your sins. We get confused. We think sometimes that what Jesus is looking for is admirers. Oh, we want to applaud Jesus. We want to be part of that crowd. And Jesus isn't looking for admirers. He isn't looking for people who will applaud and cheer as he walks by. He's looking for people who will walk with him. We got a whole lot of people sometimes. They want to take selfies with Jesus. Here I am. I got my selfie stick. Look, this is me and Jesus. And we were right here at this historical marker. This was the tree that Zacchaeus had climbed. And this is where we are. And there, don't see? See, look. I was kind of looking off the side. But see, Jesus is squinting. But there we are. Jesus isn't looking for people like that. He's looking for disciples. He's looking for someone who's willing to walk with him. Doesn't need an admirer. What he's looking for is a disciple. Someone who will walk with him. Look, we can settle for our lives. We can settle for something way less. Less than what God ever intended. Sometimes, you know, you visit people and they're getting advanced in years and they're getting older in years and maybe their health is failing or things are going on and they're just thinking, oh, I don't know why God hasn't taken me. Oh, all my friends are gone. Oh, my friends aren't going to think I made it. Oh, I don't know why God won't take me. And you feel like telling him, Tony Campolo says, you know what, because you haven't done what you're supposed to do yet. You're going to stay here until you finish your assignment. God has given you an assignment. He created you for a reason. He wants you to make a difference with your life. Now, you can try to settle. You can stick your heads in the sand and pretend that nothing is going on. You can keep both feet on the ground. But God gave you wings to fly. God has a plan and a design for your life. He created you for a reason, so that you could be a disciple. And to be a disciple means that you're willing to follow wherever Jesus goes. It means you're willing to obey instead of trying to tell Jesus what to do. It means you're listening to what Jesus tells you to do. It means what it means is it means that you don't get to have a life of convenience anymore. You don't get to have a life of comfort anymore. Because to follow Jesus means you're going to be making sacrifices. But to follow Jesus also means you're going to have a life of meaning and purpose and fulfillment. To be a disciple. If you had a chance to interview any of the disciples, and you ask them, do you regret being a disciple? What do you think they're going to tell you? No. I regret some of the things I did or didn't do. I regret the fact that I deserted him. I regret the fact that I denied him. I regret the fact that I betrayed him. But I don't ever regret that I gave my life to him. Jesus doesn't come to take up a throne. He comes to take up our sins, and he puts them on a cross. That's why we have that symbol in our church. That's why we have that symbol on our table. That's why you're wearing that symbol on your chest, many of you over your heart. That's the symbol of Jesus. It's not about cruise missiles and tomahawk missiles and motorcades and all these other emblems of power. It's not about aircraft carriers. It's not about war. It's not about scientific power. It's about spiritual power. The life that God has given us to make a difference, to understand, to not get confused about who we are, who we're following. It's hard. And it's important that we claim that. I'm going to try to close out. I know we started late and people have to go to work. It's important that we get the story straight. In the last 24 hours, lives have been devastated because of a terrible and tragic loss. And if you don't have that story straight, you have no hope that can sustain you. You have no foundation that can uphold you. It's not just about being convenient and getting the story straight. It is a total difference between hope and despair. It is that hope that Barbara clings to right now. It is that hope that each of us hold and treasure in our heart, because we know death is never final. Death does not get the victory. The grave does not get to hold. We know that it isn't about avoiding a painful thing. It isn't about that. Jesus showed us that the way you face death is you face it straight on. You face it head on, and you look it straight in the eye, and you say, you have no hold on me. You cannot claim me. I know who I am, and who I am is here to save you from your sins. Who I am here to tell you that death is never going to be the final chapter of your life. Death is never going to be something you have to fear, because who I am is going to give life and meaning and purpose and let you know that love will always win. Love is victorious, and I will show you this by climbing on that cross. And when I climb on that cross, it's just not my body being sacrificed. I'm going to sacrifice every sin you've carried, every sin you've ever had, every sin you're ever going to commit, anything you think that's going to separate you from my Father's love. I am telling you, I am putting it to death on that cross. I am letting you know that the resurrection power is not something we're just celebrating next week. The resurrection power is something we're going to celebrate today and every single day and every time. Every time we have to face a tragedy, we're going to cling to that cross. Every time we face a tragedy, we're going to cling to that hope. Every time we have to face a tragedy, we're going to remind death that it has no hold.
Death has no place here. Death is never going to win because Jesus Christ died so that death has no hold on anyone, anything, no matter how tragic, no matter how unfair. God has won, and that victory is ours. God bless you.